Our text this morning will be taken out of Acts chapter 5, beginning at verse 33, going to verse 42. Verse 42. Just to fill in a gap, the chapter starts off with Ananias and Sapphira. Ananias and Sapphira, they were actually trying to emulate some of the other Christians by selling property, and they say they gave the whole amount of the property, but they did not, and God judged them and killed husband and wife. And the apostles were also doing great works during this time. And that caused the religious elite to get mad, and they were thrown in jail as a result of that. But something amazing happened in that. The Spirit of God released them from jail, and nobody knew they was gone. So now we come upon our text, beginning at verse 33. When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law held in honor by all people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take care what you are about to do with these men. For before these days, Thaddeus rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone, for if this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will, what, fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God." So they took his advice. And when they called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. Every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus. For a short title to some short words, Suffering for Christ. Suffering for Christ. Suffering for Christ. Whenever you do right, especially in the kingdom of God, you should expect some opposition. If you say that you're a Christian and you have no opposition, you ought to be checking yourself to see whether you are really, really in the faith. Because the Christian message literally is going upstream from what the world is doing. And if you have no problems at all, you better wonder if you're going upstream or you just cruising downstream with everybody. Jesus, John chapter 11, raised Lazarus from the dead. When he did that, many who saw that miracle believed. They not only wanted to kill Jesus then, they wanted to kill Lazarus also. Because Lazarus now was an indication of the identity of Jesus. And many of the Jews began to believe. So now Jesus is not the only one on the hot seat. Lazarus is on the hot seat. I'm here to tell you today, Christian, that you're on the hot seat now. Look, tag, you're it. And God has given you his Holy Spirit so that no matter what opposition you come up against, you are able to overcome. Did y'all hear me? That's why the 23rd Psalm literally says you can walk through the valley and the shadow of death. Shadows don't hurt you. Have you all ever thought about when they describe the New Jerusalem and everything is clear and that there is no literal, no artificial light in it? That means the light of Christ, the glory of God, is shining through every single thing. There are no shadows. Listen, shadows don't really hurt you. It's a thing that casts in the shadow that hurts you. And if God is with you, it don't matter what your situation looks like because it's really just a shadow. Did you hear what I said? I was at a funeral yesterday, like I told you, and I have some tough family members, some unsaved atheist family members. And they were wondering, what are you going to say? God charged me to give them the gospel, unadulterated gospel, that if you don't accept Jesus, you're going to hell. Now, I'm not a popular guy no more, but that's all right. Because I'm not looking for man's popularity. I'm looking for God to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. They told these apostles, stop teaching in the name of Jesus. Stop doing these miracles. Stop doing them right now. They literally put them in jail. And the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, got them out of jail. And nobody knew they were gone. They went back to retrieve them. And everything was locked tight and the way it was supposed to be. And they wondered, how in the world did they get out? And then a messenger come and say, listen, the people you had locked up in here are now in the temple proclaiming the gospel. Did you hear me? That's the power of the God that you serve. They're gone and nobody knows they're gone. But what they're busy doing is what God told them to do. So the question now is, if we serve a God that powerful, why are we not busy? You have a world going to hell in a handbasket, and we scared to say something. Y'all not going to like me no more. If I say the wrong thing, you're going to give me some problems. Really? That's your business. So, my family's looking at me cockeyed, but... Yeah, yes they are, but I don't care. I don't care because they can't put me in the heaven or hell. The one who gave me my marching orders told me to do it. Let's go to John chapter 12, verse number 9 and 10. And if you actually look at that text also, if you read that whole chapter, they're going to say, if these people keep going the way they're going, we're going to lose our crowd. We're going to lose our crowd. They're going to start following these apostles rather than follow us. So they're extremely mad. John chapter 12, verse 9, 11, through 11. Is everybody there? Now that reads, when the large crowd of Jews learned that Jesus was there, they came not only on account of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to put Lazarus to death as well, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and believing in who? Jesus. How many here are afraid of telling somebody about the gospel? That was quick. Telling somebody about the gospel. How many here are afraid? That was really stereo. That was good. Literally, what I'm here to do today, that my mission today is to tell you, you shouldn't be afraid no more because of who stands behind you. Why in the world would a little bitty shepherd boy, I ain't got no more small people in here. Mike, I don't think he'll cooperate. Come here. Oh, John, come here, man. I know you're on the sound, man, but I want you to hang out. Now listen. Can you imagine this? Listen, you all. There's a whole army of Israelites, and they shaking in their boots because I represent Goliath. And they shake. Have you all ever saw the Wizard of Oz? Whenever the Tin Man gets scared, he's shaking and he's rattling. Can you imagine a whole army with armor on and they shaking because somebody's in front of them and they're not sure whether they can overcome them? Can you all imagine that? So now, this is David here, and I'm Goliath. Now, they scared to fight. They scared to fight. But this shepherd boy is not scared to fight because he's under orders by, he got confidence in God. What he did, thanks, brother. Literally what he did, he stood in front of the giant and he told the giant what God did for him. Number one, he delivered the bear into my hand, and then he delivered the lion into my hand, and I'm for sure that he's going to deliver you in my hand today. I'm here to tell you all today, you don't have to be afraid no more. He was confident because of who he knew, and he had experience with him, delivering him. And now we're afraid. Verse 34. They were going to do something to the guys, but a Pharisee by the name of Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, a hallowed teacher of the law, told them, you all better think about what you're doing. Think about what you're doing. How often do you all try to stop a movement and don't really know what's going on? I guess never, huh? Y'all in good shape like that there. Y'all discern everything right? That's why we have to be sober-minded. We have to be able to see what God is doing. And how do we do that? By the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to stop things because they're not doing what I think they should be doing. And they're not doing them the way I think they should be doing them. Therefore, you need to stop right now. But this is the power of God and the plan of God that's been worked out. They want to stop the apostles. Gamaliel says, watch what you're doing, because you may be found in the wrong place. And then he gives examples of two Jewish people who caused a revolt. And the revolt came to nothing. So he says, you better check out these guys and don't worry about stopping them, because if it's not of God, it's going to fall to the ground anyway. Hey, I'm almost through, too. Let's look at verse number 40. A continuation of 39. And when they had called the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. Do you all let people stop you all from doing what God has called you to do? I'm not talking to you, though, because you're a ruffian. In a nice way. In a nice way. Nice way. Don't get it twisted. Do you all ever cower from doing what God told you to do? Well, I'm here today to tell you, you can obey with reckless abandon. You could be a prodigal in your obedience. Prodigal means reckless. Reckless obedience to God. And you're reckless because you know that he has what? Power. And whatever he tells you can do, you can do. And on your job, it don't matter. Preaching with a bad back, it don't matter. You just do what I tell you to do, Billy. And I'm going to be glorified in you. Messed up as you are. They beat them and they let them go. Something interesting happened. But before we go there, let's go to Acts 16, verse 25 to 30, please. Now, they're doing what God told them to do. They're getting stopped. They're getting freed. And now they're getting reacquired. And now they're getting beat. None of y'all would literally say, Lord, are you sure this is where I should be? Because I've been doing some stuff here. Are you sure? Listen, God wants us to have a different mind. He wants us to have a different mind. How do we get a different mind? We have to go through something to be taught something. How do I know God can deliver me on my job? I have to go through on my job to where he brought me out. Uh-huh. And listen, God gives us affliction, and it's really a gift. Y'all catch that? It didn't fly over your head, right? It's a gift. How many have been going through and you've been, and the joy of the Lord is your strength, and you're in good shape, and people on the outside just wondering, what the heck wrong with you, brother? You should literally be falling on your face and crying. What's going on? I'm trusting God. That's what's happening. Acts 16, 25 to 30. Paul and Silas are in trouble. Literally, because they cast a demon out of a girl who was making money for some guys, fortune telling. He cast the devil out. They mad because they can't make any more money. And now they have them put in jail. They have them put in the inner jail. Like they are serious criminals for casting out a demon out of a girl. And it goes, verse 25. It says, about midnight, after being beat up and put in jail, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everybody's bonds were what? Unfastened. While the jailer woke and saw the prison doors open, he drew a sword and about to kill himself, supposing that all the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" What I really wanted to focus on is, while they're in jail, why are they not complaining about my condition? Now, Lord, I'm doing what you told me to do, so what in the world is going on here? They sitting in jail, beat up. They whooped them, and they sitting in jail in stocks, and they not complaining. Listen, if you read that chapter, they were really on their way to a prayer meeting before all this got started. Y'all not listening to me, are you? Now listen, you can't stop me from going to prayer meeting. I don't care what you do to me. In all of this mess, they sitting down there and they singing and praising God. Wait a minute. Because their minds have been renewed by the word of God and by the experience that God can deliver. Y'all shouldn't be taking for granted being in church learning something. Because it'll help you this week coming up. It'll also help you in dealing with me too, sister, because I know I'm a handful, right? But they were singing and praising God in the jail. God showed up, shook the foundations of the jail. Everybody's bonds fell off. If we could get there, you all, man, we can be two or three people in one place and somebody got a remark. They have literally turned wherever you are upside down. The Bible says in 41, "Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy." Lord, have mercy, Jesus. That they were counted worthy. That they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that Jesus is, Christ is Jesus, right? Well, I hope now you won't allow anything to stop you from doing what you're supposed to be doing. Didn't nobody shout today, but that's all right. Because if you're informed, you can live. Who in the world, listen, money don't mean anything unless it's something to back the money. Y'all listening? A soldier is nothing unless there's something to back the soldier. A Christian is nothing unless there's power to back a Christian. Amen. Can anyone agree with me that there's great power, incomprehensible power backing you so that whatever God calls you to do? What if God requires your life? Are you willing to give? I was actually back there in the back talking to the fellas and say, I don't know how good this is, but they're going to have to kill me to stop me today. That disc going to have to explode in my back for me to sit down. Because I belong to God. If he tell me to do something, I'm going to do it. I'm going to die trying. Because life, your lives, your growth is well worth my life. I'm telling you. Well, I'm through. You all, and strangely enough, I don't feel no back pain at all. Golly. Well, as you sit and ruminate, if you didn't go to sleep, Brother Ernest, think on these things.